Listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, is written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
You have not reached the finish line, and God is not finished yet. And that means that if you are still in the race and you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then God has more for you. And so God has a plan, and the plan is from the moment that He came into your heart and your life, He has a plan that you continue to grow forward, grow forward, grow forward. You may fall, you're falling forward. You may crawl, you're crawling forward. You may sprint, you're sprinting forward. You may be in a jet aircraft flying like a rocket. You're still moving forward. God has a plan, and all hell can't stop, Cynthia, what God is doing in your life. Bill, all hell cannot stop what God is doing in your life. God is at work in your life, and God is not going to give up on you. A lot of people gave up on me. I gave them reasons to give up on me. I was the bad apple, the bad black sheep, bad black sheep, right? Some of you were too. Don't look at me so self-righteously. That's who I was. And they said, get rid of him. That'll be the solution. You know what God's plan was, Larry? God's plan was to get the devil out of me, put His Holy Spirit in my life, and then God would change me rather than getting rid of me. He was going to get rid of the junk out of my life. And that's exactly what God started in you too. Or you wouldn't be here, because you're going to have to bring a steak knife, and you're going to have some good chompers, because God's going to give us some good stuff. Hallelujah. Anybody still here? Praise God. So we were over here in Isaiah 58, which is the fasting passage. And we're not going to go back through all that today. We're not going to do all that stuff. But let me just remind you of something. In the Word of God, if we're going to read it in the New Testament, we should look to see a foundation for it in the first covenant, because Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So when I look in Isaiah 58 and I read about fasting, I find out that God is addressing the compromise that's in their life. They have become religious rather than righteous. Because they're still fasting, they are doing the things that look right, but their hearts aren't right. And so when we look at this in the first few verses, the condition, what's the condition with this fasting chapter? The condition is that God says they're rebellious in verse 1. Rebellious, but they're fasting. That seems silly, doesn't it, Larry? That people who are rebellious are fasting? When fasting's not really easy to do. But they were. So God says, declare to my people their rebellion. They're also practicing sin. And we know that in the same verse. Declare to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their, not sin, S-I-N, but sins, many missing the marks. This is, of course, the fasting people. And look what God says. Day after day they seek me out, they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what's right and has not forsaken the commandments of God. They ask me for just decisions. They seem eager for God to come near them. And they even kind of argue with God, why have we fasted and you don't see us? They're so religious. Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? And God says, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. And in striking each other, can you imagine that, having fist fights while they're fasting? And God says, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard. In Matthew chapter 6, We'll run to the New Covenant, and let's see what's going on with fasting over here. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts. We have a book in the Bible called Acts, don't we? You know, that book is about the actions of the church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The temple church had Acts 2, but their Acts, not Acts Roman numeral 2, they also had acts or actions. The difference is they did not have a heart for God. Wait a minute. Some people stop there. They say, you know, they're even religious about the acts that they do that nobody knows about. Because it's not just saying that you can't do anything in front of somebody, because that would mean you'd have to do everything in the dark, or you would never touch anybody. Look at what this is saying. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Ah, that's the difference. Do not do your acts of righteousness to be seen by men. Well, who are you to do your acts of righteousness for? To be seen by God. In other words, one man could do the same thing as another man. One man is doing it to be seen by men. Another man is doing it for the glory of God. One man does it, he's already received his reward. The other man has done it, he's going to receive a reward forever, because his heart is right. And so the actions, Jesus is just going to talk about the heart. That's what he always does. If you do your actions before men, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, what does no reward mean, Bill? Just say no reward. It means the same thing in the Greek. You know, it's not that deep. No reward is no reward. In other words, you could waste your whole life doing religious things and have what kind of a reward? No reward. Well, something happens when you're born again. You really have a desire to please your Father. And so, this is where some who are religious, they're not born again. They don't understand. We have a nation that's full of religious people who are not necessarily righteous. And they do a lot of things, and they feel better. It just feels good. I mean, it's good to do good things. People say, well, you know, that was such a good person. Only God can really make us good, right? So then we come to the application. If you do, your works will be seen by men. You'll have no reward from your Father. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Is this where blowing your own horn came from? We were with the family the other night in downtown Stuart at a restaurant. And this vehicle came by. Now, probably none of you guys ever did this kind of a thing, but this vehicle, probably none of you ladies ever dressed for this kind of a thing either. But anyhow, this vehicle comes by, and it's this pickup truck that you need like a 6-foot stepladder to get into. Maybe an 8-foot, I don't know. It was way up there. Lights all over the place. You know, LED lights. It was all fancied up. It was slick looking. I mean, I said, that's really cool. And so when it drove along, it was sort of, you know, sort of rumbling along. And every little bit, if there were some people sitting around, I just know what it's like. You just sort of go, you know, and give it a little bit of a rumble. And so what I missed was that he came around, I believe Jay said, 3 times. So, I mean, he has this all decked out truck. And So he likes his truck, right? He likes his truck. But he could like his truck at his own house, and he could go in his own front yard, and nobody would see it, right? And that would be, he could like his truck like that. But how many of you think maybe he liked other people to like his truck too? So he wanted to bring his truck out and display it, maybe because he was looking for a little attention. I wonder if Jesus was addressing this whole aspect of what we're really looking for, Dennis, in our religious acts. What are we really looking for? What is the need? Do we need to feel needed? Do we need to be seen? Do we need to be at the top of the ladder? Do we need to impress? Do we need to do that for God's glory? See, Jesus just looks into the heart, doesn't he? He addresses us right where we live. We have peacocks in our neighborhood, and they make a lot of noise. And especially the males, they have a big personality. And they will come, even the little ones with this little scrawny tail that looks about the size of your hand. The little ones, they will strut their stuff and squawk and carry on like they're a big show going on. And Jesus was addressing that in church. He was addressing that is for show and tell to men, but God is desiring us to hunger and thirst for righteousness that will show and tell for Him. There's a difference in what takes place. And so, when you give to the needy, do not announce it. Put your trumpets away. Nothing wrong with shofar. We're not talking about shofars here. And don't look at me like that now. He's going, oh no, Pastor doesn't like shofars. No, I love shofars. They're all right. I love them. They even look good on animals when they have them, you know. But so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be what? Honored by men. I tell you the truth. Now they're going to get a reward, right? Jesus said, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. In full. Now we already knew that, right? Because in verse 1, Jesus said, if you do your righteous acts to be seen by men, that you will have no reward. And so here he just says it again. They've already received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now some people take that to mean that, you know, I can't really know what's in my pockets. You know, I can't give without knowing what I'm giving. That's ridiculous. I mean, As a kid, working at the flower farm, when I finally got all those raises and I made like $96 a week, it was so much money. I mean, I started 85 cents or something. But when I finally got to like $96, I would take one of those checks and I would save out singles. So next time I went into the bank, I'd say, I want a $100 bill. And so, I mean, I was a kid. I was 13 years old working at the flower farm. So I would have $100 bills in my wallet. Now, let me just tell you, I didn't have them in there for God's benefit, really. And when I would go to buy something, Dennis, I would sort of, you know, with my buddies, I would sort of, instead of pulling the singles out, Sunshine, you probably don't know how this is, but instead of pulling out the singles, I knew where the hundreds were. So if I was going to buy a quarter Coke, yeah, I was going to have a hundred that got in the way. Go, whoops, I didn't mean to do that. And that none of you know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm talking about. But God is looking for there to be His presence and His power in His church. And so in the church, we have to get real with God so God can be real with us. It's not like we don't know. I knew exactly how many hundreds were not in my wallet. I knew how many 20s were in there. I mean, I was a kid. I was 13. I ran paper routes. I had employees. I cut 100 and some yards. I knew what was where. So do you really think that the Word is saying your right hand can't know what the left hand is doing? Or do you think what God is saying, make sure you're not doing it for either hand? But you're doing it because I prompted your heart and gave you some compassion. Gave you a little bit of a burden. I moved your heart. I touched your heart. So it's not the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing. It's my carnal flesh is not ruling what my left or right hand is doing. I'm not looking to impress with what my left or right hand is doing. I'm looking to be led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, church, I'm just calling you to be awakened to what has hindered the church. Where we build our monuments to ourselves, and we have these massive places, and we do massive things, and I enjoy music, I enjoy drama, I enjoy production, I enjoy big buildings. I'm a builder at heart. I love building. I love creating. I enjoy all of this. But God is looking for real. God is looking for real. Do you remember in the beginning, they couldn't even shape their stones for the altar? Do you remember that God said to them, listen, when you go out and collect the stones and you're going to build the altar for me, don't put a chisel to them. Don't put the stonemason working on it, because I don't want you to make it to look like what you want it to look like. I want this to be about the sacrifice, and I want it to be about the fire that's going to come down from the heaven. I want it to be about my work and not your work. I want to show up and I want to show off so the people will know that there is a God in heaven. And I believe we've sort of gotten this messed up. Where we think if we're going to reach people, we're going to have to somehow impress them. Or we're somehow going to have to do something that is super-de-duper. I read in the last days, Dylan, that there are going to be many people deceived by lying signs and wonders. Think about that for a minute. Lying signs and wonders. Is it possible that the counterfeit could have more demonstrative, demonstratable power than the kingdom of God so that people would be deceived and they would follow after it? What is that scripture saying? Why is that in the Word of God? What is the caution to us? Let me suggest to you, the caution is this, that if the church as people know it becomes so worldly, and if the church as people know it fails to have the presence of God, and if the church as people know it becomes a big show, but God doesn't show up, man shows up, and nothing happens that changes cities and changes families and changes lives, then the world and even the religious can be deceived by lying wonders because the genuine are no longer visible. I've had a hunger inside of me from the time I was born into the kingdom of God to see the genuine move of God. You say, I don't know what that looks like. Well, let me just give you one picture, and then we're going to have communion. And I know I'm not even going to get through half of my introduction this morning. But let me give you one picture. There was an Ark of the Covenant that had to be carried to get from point A to point B. How many of you know about that? You know, there was an Ark of the Covenant. It was a place where the presence of God dwelt. There were poles that slid through these round rings. And by these poles, by those who were appointed, they could carry the Ark of the Covenant. And it represented, in a literal sense, the presence of God. And God guarded that. And thus we have, you know, movies that talk about finding the lost ark, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark and things of this nature. If you remember how that guidance and direction was given, how God gave that to them, the direction was that no one was to touch that ark. No one was to even move the ark unless they were the ones assigned and they did it in God's way. And so when you ask, well, what does it look like for us to be jealous for God and jealous for His presence and to not seek to be doing our works before men? It means that our fingerprints are not found on the holy things. It's all about God. We do not place our hands on that ark. You remember that even the individuals that's trying to steady the ark, it's on a cart. It was never supposed to be on a cart. It had been in their house. They became familiar with it. They were so familiar with the ark. It had been in their home that they lost that sense of awe and respect. And as it's moving along the road, it shifted on the road. They reached out to touch it and instantly dropped dead because God was guarding His presence. And I believe today we're in a season with great opportunity. But I'm confident that God is looking to get the glory. Not us. God is looking to get the glory. God is looking to show up. God is looking to use us. He's looking to use nobody. He's looking to use people that don't care who gets the accolades. He's looking, I believe, to use churches and pastors and leaders who are not into themselves and are not into their size and are not into their programs, but are saying we're going to fast and seek the face of God for God's presence alone. That's what the pastor in Georgia told me when he said we started the 21-day fast. He said, we'd always fasted before for some specific thing. But he said, this time I found myself fasting for one thing alone, and that was, God, if we don't have your presence, there's no hope. No hope. Toddy, I've come out of this 21-day fast more convinced than ever that the worst thing we can do is be religious right now. The worst thing in the world that the church can do is just have church. Because people are not interested in coming to a building unless God is there. And so I invite you, I charge you, I call you to not stop the pursuit, but continue to seek the face of God in these days as we move ahead. I don't even know where I came across this little book. I think somebody sent it to me because they figured I needed it. It's called Invitation to a Fast. And it's by Matt Madigan. Let me share something with you. This is this man's prayer. He is in a city, he's in a place where he's been commissioned to minister, and this is his prayer. He said, I cried out to God, my prayer was simple, release your power, Lord, on this place. Release your power. He said, I need more power. I've only prayed for a few and seen God's healing power released. This is the pastor. The pastor saying, my city's in trouble unless God does something. I hope you know our nation, well, a lot of us prayed. We've been seeking God. Don't stop. That's the word. Don't stop. It's good that we've done what we've done to seek God, but don't stop. Don't stop. Most we talk to about Jesus say it's nice for us, but they're in a different place. He's just talking about his city. It was the lost. People were not interested. They weren't hungry. And his prayer is this: I need more power so I can continue Jesus's mission of proclaiming the gospel of good news, setting captives free. You know, he's praying. He's just praying that God will do in him exactly what God wants to do in all of us. But he's acknowledging the fact that he is not the answer to the spiritual need in his city. I, as a pastor, we as pastors, must come to this place where we understand I'm not the answer to the spiritual needs of people in this city. God is the only one that can meet those needs. We're not good enough. We're not big enough. And all the wealth in the world is not going to do what needs to be done. God, we need you to show up on the Treasure Coast of Florida. I sit with the Alliance. We are men who are humbled by the Spirit of God. We are men that are broken, that our cities and region are still lost like they were when we went into the ministry. Some of us 20, 30, 40 years ago, we're not kids anymore. And we realize that the darkness has pushed even more upon us. And if there's going to be an answer, it's got to come from heaven. It cannot come from me. It cannot come from man or from religion. It must come from God. And if you sense that I'm driven and I'm full of zeal and I'm passionate, I will tell you I cannot communicate with words what is in my heart. I am so convinced that God is not finished with our nation, and God is not finished with the church, and God is looking for us to abandon all of our self-righteousness and throw ourselves completely upon Him and say, God, you're the solution. You're the answer. He's saying, I want to see the blind seen. I want to see the bound free. I want to see the oppressed delivered. I want to see the works of the devil exposed, diminished, and removed. Take occupancy. Father, may the church take occupancy. May the abundant life be displayed. And make sure, Father, that everyone on my turf, this is this pastor, he's just praying for a city, that everyone on my turf gets at least one opportunity to hear the gospel. Wait, not that. His prayer wasn't finished. Hear the gospel with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in such a way their heart is gripped and they are convinced that there is a living God amongst us. And when I read that, that reminded me, God, that is exactly what you put in my heart when I was 15 years old. I read the Hebrides. I traveled to some of those places. I met some of the great-great-grandchildren that say, this is what we heard. This is what happened. I've been in worship services where there were hundreds of people in worship. But in the midst of all of that, our whole nation needs a fresh move of God. There is no other solution. The Titanic is going down. With the best of our religious engineering, we cannot keep the ship afloat. Only God can rend the heavens and come down and meet with us in such a way that our nation returns to God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
We know our God is defeated. Hey, this is Pastor Josh from Calvary Chapel in Palm City. We want to invite you to listen to our brand new radio program, Verse by Verse, on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. here on WCNO. We are super excited to share the teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Palm City with you. For more information, please visit 772church.com.
I've closed the door. every day with the question, what am I searching for? And in this world of disappointment, every soul is reaching out for something pure, something right, something perfectly bright. There is one single light in a world of darkness, one single light in a world of gray, one single light shines through the night. Jesus is his name. Jesus is his name. Yeah, yeah.
Billions of people have heard this name, yet don't know of its power. Assume it's just a word. When you call the name of Jesus, in an instant he is there with open arms to rescue you, to see you through. He's the way, the truth. Was one single light in a world of darkness, one single light in a world of gray, one single light shines through the night. Jesus is his name. Jesus is his name. Counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, Eternal Father God, with us. There is one single light in a world of darkness, one single light in a world of grace, one single light shines through the night. Jesus is his name. Jesus is the one single light in a world of darkness, one single light in a world of gray, one single light shines through the night. Jesus is his name. I
He is restoring his people by rains of sweet.